Shoes. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the AR Q&A call. And today is the 6th, I believe, of May. I can't believe it's getting so late. So we're getting up to Mother's Day next weekend, and we have an EMS weekend coming up. So for our questions today, we've got three rather long ones, so let's get started. The first one is probably the shorter. My husband has voiced before that I smother him. Of course, it was during the time he was hiding the affair from me. What I want to understand is my wanting to keep him accountable and confronting him with decisions he makes that could be portrayed as sin or an ungodly lifestyle different than smothering. I want him to live a life that is godly and respected. I also want him to call me out on things that could be sin or turn into sin if I continued in that direction. I don't want to frustrate him with him feeling like I'm being his mother or treating him like a child. Can you help me understand what separates these two from being the same and what I can do to be doing the right thing and helping him and stop doing the wrong things that are unhealthy? That's a great question, and I don't even know if it's smothering. I think a lot of times people begin to feel that they're being controlled and their mate is trying to control what they're doing, what they're not doing. They're getting unsolicited feedback, etc. I will say for your husband, and I kind of figured this out in my own recovery, he would be far better off telling you what to do rather than feeling like a little kid because you're doing what you're doing. In other words, I learned a long time ago, if I told my wife to begin checking, suddenly I was in the position of telling her what to do, and it no longer felt like she was policing me. But it also feels to me, as you talk about this, that there needs to be maybe a way that you talk with each other that doesn't make it feel controlling. And you might ask first when you approach him if you would like to hear your opinion on something. If someone invites you into the conversation, then they're much less likely to be defensive. Another phrase I would use when you talk to him is say, you know, are you interested in knowing what, you know, how I kind of feel about this? And if he says yes, then sit there and say, well, you might consider the possibility. And that may sound like a funny way to start it, but you might consider the possibility that. Another thing that my wife did that really, I think, helped her get out of control was she would ask me, you know, to at least pray about it. Because in the long run, what you want with your husband is for him to begin to really consider what are the ramifications. And when she would ask me to pray about it, typically I would come to the exact same conclusion. But if she told me to do it, there was a part of me that immediately, or she disagreed with me, there was a part of me that almost wanted to have a conflict with her around it. So you might ask him, say, well, before you make that decision, would you at least pray about it and ask God how he feels about it, or would you at least consider, you know, how it might impact others? Because I think you might find that you want to reconsider it, but, I mean, that's up to you. And again, that sort of approach won't make them feel smothered because it at least leaves an element of respect and concern and value. If you just come in, though, and tell them that that's wrong or whatever, they're going to feel more like it's parent to child. And just the simple act of asking the question, would you mind if I shared my opinion? Would you like to know what I think? You'll find just that one piece can be very helpful in that sort of situation. And hopefully that'll give you all a leg to kind of step forward on. If that doesn't work, please post another question in the future and we'll look at it again. Next question. My wife had a 3-year emotional affair with a coworker. I, like so many others, trusted too much and never had a clue. Even though, as I look back on it now, there were clues. I discovered the affair on October 14th, 2012. I was discovered on October 14th. Since then, my wife started and has 4 more weeks of Hope for Healing. I completed Harboring Hope. During her lessons, there was one-on-one walking completely in the light. My wife professed to me being about in late January 2003 that she was completely open and honest with me, and she did love very much walking in the light. Now, on September 9th, 2012, we were up at the lake with my brother and his wife, and at about 5 a.m. that morning, my brother's wife woke me up screaming in my ear, said she had just caught my brother and my wife about to have sex. I went out and questioned my wife, who said nothing at that time. Later, while still at the lake, she did admit her brother had gotten on top of her. We went home, and I questioned her at length about it, and she said had nothing more to add. Remember, this is all before I discovered her 3-year affair. I directly questioned her about that event about 15 minutes back at our house, and I was convinced nothing had happened. After discovering her 3-year affair on October 15, 2012, I asked many, many times again about her and my brother, and each time she said nothing ever happened. Well, fast forward to March 15, 2013. After my wife had been in the Hope for Healing group for quite some time, and she professed to me that she had told me everything, and that was only about her 3-year affair. But then on March 15th, she sat down on our bed and told me she had had sex with my brother one time earlier in the summer of 2012, before September 9th, 2012. I was devastated. Here she was telling me, basically for 5 months, that she loved being totally open and honest with me. 5 months of that. And here she was telling me she'd been lying for those 5 months. It was another D-Day. Really a triple betrayal. She was lying when she told me she'd come out with everything. She had drunken sex with my brother and admitted they were about to have sex again on September 9th, 2012, drunk again. And now I knew my own flesh and blood brother had betrayed me. My brother, who said sex with my wife meant nothing to him. Now I know that means also it meant nothing to him to betray his own brother. It happens every now and then that when I get very close to my wife, that after a week or a week and a half, I bounce out and say to myself, what am I doing? What am I doing here beginning to trust this woman and falling in love with her again? What am I doing trying to work out our marriage, work on our marriage skills, most notably intimacy, in the new sense that I've learned in the work in my Harboring Hope class, that it is radical honesty that at first may destabilize, but in the long run is for the greater good. I am very, very concerned with myself and this cycling behavior where when I get really close to my wife and suddenly, just out of the clear blue, I do a complete reversal and want to leave the marriage. I talk about completely giving up. We end up sleeping in different rooms. We don't talk, and things degenerate greatly until I come around. I know my wife did the bravest thing she could possibly have ever done in her life. She did not have to tell me the truth about her and my now estranged brother. She volunteered it. I know it was probably the most intimate thing anyone has ever done for me. And she is diligent with her heart, Hope for Healing, and shows me every day she is all in. Even when I'm cycled out of the marriage, she is patient and non-defensive. I know these behaviors are what kept me coming back and my love for her, but I still cycle, even though it's getting less frequent, and it is so alarming to me. What can I do beyond praying to God to let me be a vessel for his love for my wife, beyond realizing that she gave me the greatest gift I ever received? That is hard to swallow, but I know it to be the truth. Beyond realizing I see her changing, beyond our success at communicating honestly, both emotionally and sexually, those all seem like powerful changes and ought to keep me out of the cycle. Me out of the cycling out zone, but I know they can happen. Please help me with any thoughts and knowledge you have and any suggestions of what I could pray for about this behavior of mine specifically. First off, I just want you to know I'm so sorry that you went through all of that. I'm thrilled to hear the progress the two of you are making, but your response to that information back on October 15th is totally normal, and it's going to take time, I believe, for that wound to heal. I mean, it would be nice if it would maybe go away quickly, because I hear you saying that you feel y'all are making really great progress. At the same time, that is such a phenomenal betrayal. And all you can do, and maybe all she can do, is listen to you process through it. And I think that's one of those wounds that you have to continually talk about time and time again. Sometimes things are so painful, it's very difficult to process. Another suggestion would potentially be doing EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which might give you, in some individual therapy, a way of dealing with the trauma wound that results from that. The main thing is, don't beat yourself up. I would just pray that God heals your heart. In the long run, when you come back, I mean, there's a part of you that wants to protect you from you, that you've been so desperately hurt. And we do have parts that literally just want to say, are you nuts? Why would you want to be back here again? Tell yourself, you know what? I'm a child of God. I will do what I feel led to do. And I choose to love. And it's about future forgiveness. If you've gone through the next week, or on the chapter on forgiveness, there's a letter from the monk who knew he was fixing to be assassinated. At one level, you have to continue, I think, in that place of going, you know what, I choose to forgive. I'm giving myself to her. She can hurt me if she wants in the future. That's my choice. I only hope and pray that she doesn't. But I am going to love, and I'm going to be vulnerable. But you might also consider the EMDR, because it may help kind of speed the process of working through that. And you can look up somebody who does EMDR treatment on the website. Just look up eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and there will be a list of certified therapists who can do that. Thank you very much for that question. Next, my wife and I just completed 10 weeks of EMS, and it was a very challenging week for us. The topic relates to relapse, and it's relevant to me specifically because I've relapsed so many times in our marriage of almost 7 years. I've never had a physical affair, but my battle has been off and on with pornography since I was a child, where I was exposed to it at a very early age. I've come a long way in this battle, but it's been a long road with success and failure. It has gone from no porn for the first 2 years of our marriage to a couple of years of viewing porn on my iPhone, to no porn, to another season of lying and looking at porn, to viewing movies and trailers and trashy TV shows, to online photo sharing, to now double takes of women. Just last week, my wife asked me if there was anything I haven't been telling her, and that she was praying that the Holy Spirit would convict me to share with her. After standing there for about 30 seconds, I eventually told her that, yes, I've not been sharing with her that I've struggled with double takes over the last month or so, a good portion of the time we were in the EMS class. I did complain to her if I have any double takes. Then I realized that it was something I didn't even necessarily agree with sharing with. Then I realized it was something I hadn't really agreed with in sharing with her. I tried to bring up my thoughts on the subject during a counseling session with her pastor one Sunday, and it did not go well. She was furious, sad, upset. We ended up not even going to church, but just leaving immediately. I basically told them how I felt that a double take was not necessarily a sexual sin, but maybe just a stupid thing to do that was disrespectful to my wife. When I do a double take, I'm not having sexual fantasies, imagining what that person would be like to have sex with, or having much thoughts at all. Sometimes I do notice a draw to look at girls that are running or walking by if they are wearing something that is maybe a little too revealing. And although I make an effort not to look and to think about my wife, sometimes I do look. Sometimes I notice 20 girls in a day and double takes, 10 times. Another day, 2 times. Other days, none. I feel in my heart that at that point, I've crossed a line between being tempted and actually doing something sinful, although I don't think or know if I would call it sexual sin. I know that lying to her is wrong, and I have a need to continue repenting of this if I do this in the future. I know in my heart that checking girls out is a sin also. I hate it. I'm trying to be accountable to other guys on this topic and want to be transparent to her, but don't want to agree to share things with her that I don't believe will help either of us. When she flips out, it puts a squeeze on me, and I'm tempted to lie to her. I don't want to lie. I also don't want to agree to something I don't view that is healthy for her or that leads to more temptation to lie. I can call it sin, stupidly, or a high-risk activity, but I know in my heart that it's not the same degree of struggle I face when I look at porn, sexual material online, or sexual material online private. I don't want to have her spin out of control and bring something up like that to her. I don't feel sharing that level of detail is healthy in our marriage, but agreed to do it in an attempt to rebuild trust. I don't think that it builds her love up. I do have guys that I talk to on a regular and weekly basis about my struggles and share real struggles with them with regards to sexual temptations, and I'm willing to share this type of struggle with them as I have in the past. I know God is changing my heart and healing me, but it's been a slow process with lots of stumbling along the way. Any advice you might have on how to we could move forward is much appreciated. So I'm going to read the next question before answering this question because his wife also writes in. My husband and I continue to battle through the topic of what our daily and weekly walk looks like together in terms of open and honesty and what we will and will not share with one another. About 2.5 weeks ago, he admitted to another betrayal. He confessed that he's been lying to me again and struggling with double takes, checking out other women, while lying straight to my face about it on multiple occasions since this course has started. This came out during the relapse prevention week and watching the video. He said that for the first month of the class, he didn't do double takes because he was so disturbed by our separation and that his sin had just been confessed, a year of porn and lying to me. Then one day, about a month in, he decided he needed to live a life and started double taking again without drawing it out to full-blown fantasy episodes. Double takes do hurt me. However, I am very sensitive to this particular act of visual interest towards attractive women, and we've defined it as sin in our marriage if that sexual interest is there. Then he decided not to tell me about it when I asked him and simply lied to me. He has male accountability, and I agree with the idea that I'm not his primary accountability partner, but I want to talk about intimacy in this context and what's going on here between me and him. I just read through the intimacy section within You've Got Lost That Loving Feeling chapter, and it talks about the biblical concept of naked and not ashamed and how we very often replace intimacy with closeness. I think this is exactly what Steve wants to do in this area. He does not want to share double takes with me and thinks it's unhelpful to me and our marriage to tell me when they occur, even though it's important for me that we check in on this occasionally, like on a weekly basis during the process of building trust back. And has basically told me that he's not going to confess this, but is working through if this is right or not. Our evening last night ended in another argument about this with no conclusion. It is really starting to wear on me. I can tell that Steve doesn't value openness and honesty as much as I do, and I feel like he's just wanting to take the less painful path. He's also told me that he doesn't know if he can stop double taking at all, which seems to really diminish the power of the cross, and is so, so discouraging and hurtful to me. We also had a very young new pastor who had a very different views than your perspective recently tell us that openness and honesty is really overrated, and that sharing all temptation and sin and thinking within marriage is simply unhelpful and hurtful, double takes included. I feel really defeated, scared, and in this disagreement over this advice, and ever since, Steve has really been parroting and agreeing with that person's advice. We are pretty much at a standstill, and I'm very hurt. Would love to hear a direction from you and for you to pray for us. Certainly, I'm going to pray for you. So this is, men and women are radically different in terms of how things work. I do know that what we call recognition impulses, where people notice things in a sexual way, it typically happens automatically. And I certainly don't consider someone having recognition impulses or that noticing something in a sexual way to be anything other than the way God made them. In fact, I'd even go so far as to say that in many ways, women were intended, I think, to reveal something of God. You ladies are far too wondrous for guys. We can't handle it. At the same time, what we do with that is important. I know when I see an attractive lady, one of the first things I pray is, you know, Father, I would rather suffer for their benefit than gratify myself at their expense. And I certainly have some things I believe that I could share with Steve if you will email me personally, either of you, and I will send that to you. So I don't want to put that necessarily on the Q&A here, but maybe we'll put a resource out there around this particular topic. When people want to share what I call recognition impulses, where they notice things in a sexual way and even look two times, but don't move into fantasy. Remember in the chapter 10, we said that temptation doesn't define us. If temptation defined us, then Jesus would be the vilest person ever living because he's been tempted more than anyone else in history. So the fact that he notices things, or Steve, that you notice things, to me is not an issue. But the agreement you and your wife made, to be honest about it, that is an issue. And what creates the problem is your deception around that fact, just that you're not being honest with her regarding what you agreed to be honest with. I know for my wife and I agreed for a season to share everything with her. And I've had other couples do this for 2 weeks, for 30 days. I don't recommend it for the long run. But to do that, it's also imperative that, you know, the wife be able to be safe enough to share that with, because it's a fact. I mean, hopefully the Lord over time will begin to, not hopefully, the Lord over time will begin to deal with that and change it some. But our mistake is, it's not a matter of not looking. It's really a matter of learning how to look. I mean, ultimately, as it says in Romans chapter 1, what has been created, you know, is to point us. It reveals something of God. But if I begin to look at somebody for my own selfish gratification, that's where the problem begins to come in. So if you want to understand how a man thinks, I would say every day for the next, you know, 4 weeks, 2 weeks, share everything that you notice in a sexual way, so that you can understand. But understand, there's not something strange about that. You know, he will be normal. That is how God made men, as visual creatures. Now, at what point do you share? To me, lapse behaviors are what it's important, where it becomes important to share. When somebody begins to go into fantasy, When somebody begins to plan how they could get with that person, that's a very different thing. And I would lay out specifically the rules of what you want to be sharing, what you can agree upon in the marriage, at what point do you share, and in your accountability group, Steve, I would actually suggest that you let them know at what point you want to share. What I discovered is it's easy to be honest with my accountability group because I know they're not going to be judgmental, and it's a safe place. Stephanie, as much as she loves me, doesn't feel safe, partially because I know it causes pain for her. And so processing it first through my men's accountability group and then having them basically say, okay, this is in that guideline, you know, when are you going to share this? But having the group kind of work it out is really important. But again, my recommendation, if you're going to share, is share at the lapse behavior level, not at the recognition impulse or the initial temptation level. If you do the temptation level, then I would do it just for a short period of time so you can get an idea of what that's like. But in this world, we're going to be tempted. And the main thing is to learn how do you look rightly. And so, like I said, contact me. You can just write info at hope-now.com, and Joni or Sunny will forward that to me, and I will send you a resource to help with that. So that's all of our questions for the day. I want to thank everybody, and I hope everybody has a great week to healing.